Some analysis now of Vladimir Putin's announcement yesterday that he plans changes in Russia's political system. The Russian president says he wants to appoint regional governors, who are currently elected, and also change parliamentary elections to a choice entirely of party slates, eliminating the districts, which now elect half the membership of the Duma, the parliament lower house. Speaking of the Putin plan, Secretary of State Powell told the Reuters news agency today in an interview, "We do have concerns. In effect, this is pulling back on some of the democratic reforms as seen by the international community that have occurred in the past." Those Secretary Powell's words. Well, joining us are two observers of Russian affairs. Andrew Meyer is the author of Black Earth, A Journey Through Russia After the Fall. He was Moscow correspondent for Time magazine and joins us from our New York bureau. Welcome to the program once again, Andrew Meyer.
Thank you.
And Marshall Goldman, who is Associate Director of the Davis Center of Russian Research at Harvard University and Professor of Economics at Wellesley College, joins us from Moscow. Welcome once again, Marshall.
Thank you, Robert.
First, Marshall Goldman, Vladimir Putin presented this plan, he said, as a response to recent terror attacks in Russia. His critics call it an outright power grab. Which is it?
It's a little both. I think he's using the terrorism as an excuse to do this, but it is certainly a power grab that reminds me very much of the days of the Soviet Union, something called democratic centralism, where the leader has the power to appoint everybody. The democratic part of it was that Putin was elected once, but once he's in, now, boy, he's calling all the shots, and almost nobody will have legitimacy in the government hereafter.
Does he have the authority, actually, to do that? Can he, as president, simply say from now on governors will be appointed, not elected?
My understanding of the Constitution, he does not. He did the same thing with the upper house of the parliament when he just simply arbitrarily said that the people who had been elected would no longer stand, and he arbitrarily appointed people. He's also announced, I should say, that there's no longer going to be term limits. It's really a one-party state now.
And a reaction that you've heard in Moscow to this?
Well,
to
very
this
sad. I was just tonight with a Russian, because it's nighttime here, and he said he lived through 20 years of a one-party rule, and he's basically battening down the hatches, and he said he's an optimist. I said, why? He says, because he lives here.
Andrew Meyer, you wrote about Russia in both the Yeltsin and the Putin eras, I guess. Would you imagine right now that there are some Russians who don't share in the sadness that Marshall Goldman just described? Are there any who welcome this sort of thing, do you think?
Putin certainly remains very popular. The vast majority of Russians outside circles in Petersburg or in Moscow, the vast majority still believe in him. They have faith in Mr. Putin as a strong man, a strong leader. He has certainly talked the talk. I mean, the rhetoric is that we are a great state, a velikaya derzhava. He said it again after the school siege in Beslan. But I think that we need to be careful in parsing his words, because although he's come in promising since the fall of 1999 and presidency in 2000, he's talked about a dictatorship of law. We've heard a lot of talk about dictatorship and very little rule of law.
Do you assume that he will be able to implement what he's proposed here, or might he run into obstacles of any consequence?
Well, see, this is one of the big questions. He clearly, I mean, Professor Goldman is right, and I think that anyone who's been a close observer of Russia has seen this tendency coming. The question is, what is the basis of the authoritarianism? How much of, you know, Putin likes to talk about the vertical of power, the vertikal. That's been one of his mantras from the beginning. But just how strong that vertical of power is a question. And I think anyone who watched the complete debacle of the school siege realizes that, you know, this was the best of the Russian state on display.
Aren't there a lot of Russians who identify the past several years with political freedoms, but in addition to terror attacks, corruption, lawlessness, sometimes very undemocratic local bosses who are running things? I mean, this hasn't been an entirely successful experiment, has it?
No, of course not. And I think that Mr. Putin has, you know, to give him his credit, he has talked publicly, very forthright, about the corruption, the level of corruption. And I think that the level of terrorism, certainly in the school siege, could not have happened without porous borders, without law enforcement that doesn't get paid enough, et cetera, et cetera. It's not necessarily there's a political or ideological affinity with terrorism. It's just almost a necessity. I mean, people don't know what's going to happen. The Moscow theater siege, it's been very well reported. How that happened, how along the way different people were paid, how identity cards were given or manufactured. And Mr. Putin, of course, understands this, and that is a problem.
Marshall Goldman, your thoughts about what people make of this?
You know, I don't want to make it sound too political for the United States, but Putin, frankly, is taking a leaf from the American political scene. We met with him a week ago on Monday night, and he referred to what's going on in the United States, the homeland security, the terrorism, and when his general announced that they would reserve the right to take preemptive strikes, you know, they were clearly referring to what President Bush has announced. And just as President Bush is a war president, Putin sees himself as a war president. He says we're at war. And unlike President Bush, who acknowledged inadvertently that nobody can win this war, the Russians are saying we can win this war, and we will by increasing these powers and controls. And what Putin is saying, I don't like the looseness with some of the way some of the governors are behaving, and I'm going to therefore make sure that we're strong and firm. Putin had to do something after all this. It was not, he just couldn't stand there, and this is unfortunately the road that he's chosen.
I want to hear each of your judgment of this question. As you've both said, it isn't something new that Vladimir Putin has taken authoritarian steps. He has certainly gone after the mass media, the independent mass media. He has, as you've pointed out, also curtailed the authority of the upper house of parliament. Is what we see this week proposed another incremental step in the same direction? Or is there some big change here? Is this a dramatic shift, even for him, in terms of what he's been doing? Andrew Meyer, what do you see?
Oh, I think there's no question that the play that this story is rightly getting in the West is well-deserved. This is extraordinary. We can argue the finer constitutional points, but it's clearly in direct opposition to the Yeltsin Constitution of 1993. Let there be no mistake. Putin has crossed the line here, and he said so. And he's even sort of half-heartedly apologized. That some may say this, we've gone too far. This is all done in the name of anti-terrorism. And I think that those in Washington, and to a lesser extent in Europe, who have been quiet and saying, well, Chechnya is an internal matter, or we welcome Russia's help in the international effort against terrorism, I think there's been a level of appeasement. And now it really looks like collusion, because for the Russians, as Professor Goldman was just saying, it's a very sad time. This is a landmark.
Marshall Goldman, do you agree this is something not just quantitatively more, but qualitatively different from what he's done before?
I think so. I think this is, you know, just basically laughing at the whole experiment that went on before, which we raised so many hopes in the West that this was going to be a different thing. I must be, you know, people kept saying, well, they'll never go back. And I, you know, Robert, we've had enough discussions to know that I've always been a skeptic. But this is a little sooner than I anticipated.
Well, thanks to both of you for talking with us today. Marshall Goldman of the Davis Center of Russian Research at Harvard University and also Wellesley College, and Andrew Meyer, author of Black Earth, A Journey Through Russia After the Fall. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.